So, I thought about a message for this morning and thought about last week. I'm very curious, how has your week been since we sat under eight sermons, sat under the gospel, had the opportunity to sit under the gospel eight different times last week? Was it eight very good messages, and did they have any effect? Or were they just eight interesting speeches based on biblical truth? And I'd like to give you an opportunity to express what God did for you or showed you. And I believe it is important that we audibly say what God did for us. A couple different reasons. And I want to give you opportunity to share that in a little bit. You can be thinking, actually, I might give opportunity several times through the message. It's sort of a message, sort of a testimony time this morning. First, I'd like to give my testimony. Thursday's sermon, and probably the reason it's so real to me is because we were not there Thursday, couldn't be there Thursday. So I listened to it this week, but it really spoke to me. That sermon was out of the abundance of the heart. And I was touched and convicted and encouraged all at the same time through what our brother had to say about the literal power of our words. Matthew 12:36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Every idle word. You could probably take idle out and say every word, and it would probably still be correct. Every word we speak, and I believe how we say it, is being heard in the spiritual realm. He told us, and I believe this is true, Satan cannot read our thoughts. Satan is not omnipresent. But his powers are, his demons are all over the place, everywhere they can be, listening and hearing and trying to catch anything they can to use against God's people. So if our words are cutting and destructive towards others, somehow it gives Satan the power to bring oppression or temptation against that person. And if our words are upbuilding towards that person, they become a conduit through which God's grace can flow. I can't understand that, but I know it's true. I've experienced it. Brother Willis talked about an experience he had. It happened. There is power in our words. Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Death and life. That means that you can kill and you can bring alive with your tongue. For those of us that talk too much, it's pretty challenging. Pretty challenging for everybody, actually. Am I speaking life or death with what I say? And because of what I just told you, it really doesn't matter if the other person hears you or not. What comes out of our mouth can and probably will have an effect in the spiritual realm on that person. We are either building or destroying with our words. Which are we doing? The power that is in our words is the reason I want to give you an opportunity to say what God did for you this week, this past week, during revivals. Satan has been at work this week. He's been doing his best to undo and destroy the spiritual growth that you and I have gained. Maybe you felt it, maybe you didn't, but I can assure you it's been happening. He's been trying his best to unravel and undo what you have heard. And he will continue to try to destroy and deceive what God is doing in us. Audibly saying what God has done has a tremendous power in the spiritual realm to strengthen and protect us. Remember, he cannot see what's in your mind, but he can hear what you say. Now, I don't know if this morning, if his demons are here listening to what's being said, they may have all left. But I still believe that saying it is important. Now, I'll give you a very childish illustration, but this is what I felt God laid on my heart as I was thinking about this. It's a very simple illustration, but I believe it to be true in the spiritual realm. So, a little boy, call him Johnny, has a neighbor friend who is a bully. And I figured y'all can probably follow my train of thought as I tell the story. Johnny tells his dad about how the bully has been treating him. The dad tells Johnny that if the bully starts to bother him again, he would come out and deal with the bully. Now, this gives Johnny a lot of courage and bravery to go out and play outside because he knows his dad will protect him. But remember, the bully doesn't know it because he didn't hear that conversation between Johnny and his dad. But Johnny goes to school and tells his buddies how relieved he is because his dad knows what is going on and his dad is going to protect him. Well, it just so happens that one of Johnny's cohorts is right around the corner and overhears Johnny say this. I'm sorry, one of the bully's cohorts is right around the corner and he hears Johnny say this. He goes back to the bully and says, "You better watch out." And the bully realizes he better not pick on Johnny anymore because he's got a real big daddy. And the bully doesn't want any part of tangling with him. Now, you can apply that story spiritually. Johnny is you and I. The bully is Satan. The bully's cohort is a demon. And dad is God. So us telling each other what God is doing in our lives sets a stake and tells Satan what he can and cannot do. It lets him know. If Johnny hadn't told his friends what his dad had said, what his dad was going to do, he'd have had to deal with the bully again. I think the same is true in the spiritual realm. There's tremendous power in saying what God is doing, telling each other what God is doing in our lives. Now, is there something that God has said to you or did in your life that Satan needs to hear about? Maybe something that inspired you and gave you courage in your life, or convicted you, or showed you a place where you could be a better encouragement to others. And I don't want this to be any pressure. I want you to have the opportunity to share this morning. This isn't the only time I want to give opportunity for testimonies, because as we go through the message, there's other things that may jog your thoughts. But is there anything that somebody wants to share that where God showed to you this week? Or this past week during your Bible? Something that inspired you? Or so whatever God did in your life this week, we realize Satan is trying to steal it. He's trying to discourage you. He's trying to deceive us. So the message, if you could call it that this morning, is hold fast. Don't lose what God has given to you. And I want to encourage us to hold fast this morning to what we've gained. Revelation 3, verses 7 to 13. Revelation 3, verses 7 to 13. It's a message to the Church of Philadelphia. Verse 7, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my words, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is speaking to us this morning. I know it was written to the church of Philadelphia. But that verse at the end, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That means he's speaking to us. Verse 7 and 8 say, hold fast. To the angel, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Let's hold fast to his leading. If he led you in a certain area in this past week of revivals, hold fast to that. Don't let it go. Remember it. As we go through life, remember what he has done and follow him. He says he has set an open door. For all Christians, there is an open door, a place where God wants us to go. It is always our choice whether we hold on to his hand and walk through that door, or we hold back and say, nope, that looks scary on the other side. I'm not going. And I know all of you can look at times in your lives where we face that. But when we look back, if we follow Christ through that door, into the next stage in life that he wants us to go, when we look back, we say, thank you, Lord. Hold fast to his leading this morning. Is there some place that God has showed you that he wants you to go? I'd like to give you an opportunity again to speak to that if there is. Something that he would like for you to do. She said that there's so many times in life that God calls us to something or gives us an opportunity to do something we cannot do on our own. And we need his grace and strength. It's a beautiful opportunity to rest in him, to hold on to his hand and just let him do it. Help us. I hope I'm saying what you said. Pretty good. Brother. Continue on. Thank you, brother.
Back earlier, when he was talking earlier, of course, he had three verses that he repeated every night. And in verse 17, it says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a promise that we can claim, that our lives should embrace what the kingdom of God is. And he encouraged us in that, and I appreciate that. But the thing that I was really blessed with was in the message you was talking about Thursday night. You know, we view maybe our neighbors or people in our families or situations that are difficult. There's no answers, but he challenged us that we can speak about that in a positive way, audibly to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that really blessed me that, you know, there is something we can do. Of course, we have the promise in Romans that says that, you know, when we get to the end of our road, the Spirit speaks for us. And of course, we have the promise that Jesus intercedes to the Father for us. Mm-hmm. But he was challenging us that we have a place to speak out. Mm-hmm. And that was a real challenge.
The place of intercessory prayer where we speak power into someone else's life. So powerful. Thank you for that. Yeah. Brother Clint.
One of the things that I was really challenged and impressed by was the message Thursday night, power of words. I've had to think about it many times since then. You know, and it's what I would say, you know, somebody else tear it down. And, yeah, I must admit that I'm not always somebody that's been faithful. Another thing that really impressed me and blessed me was the message that he talked about security of our salvation and overcoming. 1 John 5, verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God? Mm-hmm.
Our belief in Christ is the overcoming power. We are still required to follow, but it is the belief in him. That's the only way we can overcome. Excuse me.
I really like his thought. You mentioned good morning, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get in the habit of doing that every morning. Mm-hmm. Because I had to think back a lot of times when I had to get up and I'm thinking, I've got to get the coffee made, I've got to get to work, I've got this job to do, on and on and on. And my thought is not towards heaven or in Jesus. And anyway, if we have the morning and say, good morning, Jesus, it starts our thought life out right where it should start, mm-hmm. out, thinking on Jesus and what he wants me to do that day. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading a book right now, and the author gives a really good quote in there I really like. And he said, what are we going to be doing today? Or what did we do today that is going to have value 100 years from now? And that's something we need to think about every day we get up. And mm-hmm. I think we'll be thinking that way if we get up and say, good morning, Jesus.
That is such a challenge because, you know, all the money we can make today, I don't care how big a pile we can get, will not have an effect in 100 years. But the souls we affect for Christ will. That's the only thing that can have an effect, that we can know will have an effect 100 years from now. Wonderful thought. Anybody else?
One other thought I did have. I'm not trying to be negative on this one, the meeting or anything. But he mentioned a couple times about how we can lose our salvation is denounce it and walk away. And I'm not sure if I agree with that. And I talked to him about it after the service one evening. And I told him I had three friends. If they would have been here that evening, they would have gave that statement a hearty amen. And all three of them friends are really religious. They go to church. They witness to people in their job and so forth. But all three are living deep in sin. Couple of them are on their third and fourth marriages. Their first wife is still living. Mm-hmm. And that is, at places where they teach that, that you're saved. And if you would ask those guys, have you denounced your salvation? They would say, no, we have not. They are, well, good Christians, but it gives them a ticket to live that way because they know they're saved. They invite one told me, God knows my heart. So anyway, I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm not sure about the Bible teaches.
Right, right.
And I'd like to read a verse in Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
You just gave the key. Doeth the will of my Father. When we live there, I believe, and talking to Brother Willis, I think that's where he really comes out, is when we live in obedience to Christ, our salvation is secure. Not when we, if we intentionally leave what we know is truth, we will deceive ourselves. And we live in what the Bible clearly calls sin. We deceive ourselves and we walk away because we are walking away from truth. And that is, people will be deceived. I thought of the very same thing. People will be deceived because they will intentionally blind themselves to known truth. And when we do that, we are renouncing. Basically doing what he said of renouncing Christ and saying, I'm going to do my own thing. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. And so many people are doing that and saying, God doesn't care. Yes, he does. He does care.
I think it's kind of like some of the songs we sing. The writer has made a statement, and we can take that statement two different ways. You know, if you look at what Brother Willis said, you know, if we fall, we can realize that we have a way back. We have not lost our way because we've fallen. Mm-hmm. So don't get discouraged if you've fallen. Know your way back.
Right. God does. His ultimate goal is our sanctification and holiness in Him. Thank you.
I just want to thank Kirby for saying how he felt. I had some of the same thoughts and some concerns as well. I do believe Brother Willis endeavored to preach truth, and yet, you know, sometimes how things come across, we may not understand or his heart and what he was really saying. And I think we do need to be discerning as we listen. And so thank you, Kirby, for being brave and bringing that out. I don't view it as being negative, but as students of the Word, we know that the Word is truth. And one thing that I was blessed with is how many times, there were many times that Brother Willis challenged us. And one challenge he said was, how many of you like conviction? Well, probably none of us do. But I had to raise my hand. I'm thankful for it because it tells me that the Holy Spirit is at work in my life. And Brother Elam mentioned a verse in Romans. I'm not sure if this is one he had reference to, but it says this. The Spirit, capital S, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so if you've ever struggled with assurance of salvation, or if you've wondered if you've kind of lost your way, if you've experienced conviction by the Holy Spirit, He is working in your life. And that to me was very challenging and encouraging. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
And we can claim that.
That's right. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. That is such, I really appreciate what you said, brother. Hold fast. When God does a work in your heart, don't let it go. It's a treasure. Keep a hold of it. The importance of the local body of believers, being a part of a local body of believers, is so important.
Tuesday evening's message you brought out about if there's anything that comes before God, and God spoke to me about the year that I needed to prioritize and give God back that first place.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, I'd like to move on a little bit here. Let's read verses 10 and 11. Maybe this will jog your memories a little more too and bring up some more things you want to talk about. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. We are in a battle spiritually. But battles were won last week, where God showed you something in your life and you said, yes, I see that, God, and I want to change that. I give that back to you. You want a battle. Jesus says, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from that temptation. Everybody in the world, according to those verses, will face temptations that are going to try them to see whose they are. But we can be kept from the worst of those temptations if we are faithful to Christ. He will limit those temptations in our lives. I look at that and say, hold fast to the victories you've won. There was a lot of spiritual growth that we've gained. Let's hold fast to those victories. And he says, end of verse 11, hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You know, if you surrender to Christ, when he showed you something last week and you surrendered to him, you have a crown. It's not you're going to receive one. There's one waiting for you. Don't let it go. Don't lose that crown that's waiting for you. He said, hold fast that no man take thy crown. In verse 12, brings up what Brother Zach was just talking about. He says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. That overcometh is a continual work going on in our lives. It's something we're trying to do today, but it's something that we're going to be doing the second before we pass out of this life. Overcoming. If we're faithful in that overcoming, there's a crown waiting for us. Let's go to Ephesians 6. I'm trying to decide what all I should try to cover. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. I won't read the whole thing. I just want to look at verse 14. or let's start with 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. We can stop there. As God was showing us things last week, as we were in the Word, we were putting on these things that he was talking about here. Truth, righteousness, preparation of the gospel of peace, shield of faith. Now it's time to stand. Hold fast to what God has taught us, what he has showed us. And I really appreciate what Brother Kirvin was talking about, what Brother Samuel was talking about. And I want to tell you why. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. In other words, not everything you hear in life is going to be accurate. And I'm not at all knocking Brother Willis. What I think he intended to say is completely what he said was accurate in the context he meant to be saying it. I understand why we're questioning it. But prove all things. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We are bombarded with deception and falsehoods and a warped gospel. It is everywhere around us. We need to be constantly looking at our lives and the things or ideas coming into our lives and proving or testing them. And then the things that are accurate and right, hold fast. And if you need to speak up, speak up. I really appreciate what y'all did this morning. Hold on to what is good. Trying to figure out what all I can cover here. 1 Thessalonians 5. I want to go to that there yet. 1 Thessalonians 5 and read just a little more. This would be my prayer for us as a congregation. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. For faithful to him, he will be faithful to us. There will be a crown waiting. I'm so thankful to hear what God did for you in your lives this week. Hold on to that. Hold fast to it. Be faithful to God, and he will be faithful to us.